This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
And a very excited studio we have for you tonight. It is our 200th show of World Wide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. It's a full house tonight. G'day, Damien.
Hello.
Hello, Damien.
Hello.
Hello, Dean.
G'day, Matt.
Paul's here too.
Hello.
And I am Matt. It is a very special event tonight on lots of levels. Not only is it our 200th show, but we are off to the corridors of the United Nations.
So how do you approach a country that just doesn't want to talk about LGBT rights?
And what special role do women have in breaking down barriers?
And what are the challenges and opportunities for the LGBTI community in 2016? To discover what goes on behind the scenes at the world level to advance LGBTI rights, tonight we speak with André Duplessis, the UN Program and Advocacy Manager for ILGA, the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans and Intersex Association. Here's a taste of what you have coming up tonight.
One of our main focuses has been is to make sure that the United Nations human rights discussion is happening in a way which includes us. Because for too long, the discussion was trying to say we don't allow people to be discriminated against on grounds of race or on grounds of religion, but definitely don't mention the gay word, don't mention anything LGBTI at the UN. And that's been our big fight, is to make sure that we are included in those discussions.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities, from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
A little different on our Worldwide Wrap tonight. Normally we sort of look around at what's happened in the last week, but this time, being our 200 show, we thought we'd look at what has happened in the LGBT world over the duration of this show. So we've been on air for just a bit over 4 years, and gee, a lot's happened.
It has. It's been a very exciting 4 years for the LGBTI community. So starting off in 2012... the Australian Salvation Army officer who said gay people should be put to death.
And he said it here on our station.
Yes, well, that was a bit of a faux pas. moving on to the Pope, he said that same-sex marriage threatens humanity. This was the former Pope, Pope Benedict the 16th. He retained his position as the world's most outspoken religious leader and said that same-sex marriage threatened humanity. That's it. Not zombies,
yeah, not
or...
not proven there.
No, not zombies,
not
or Ebola,
not
or
sin.
You know, anything like that. No. But us...
Cool. And Barack Obama actually came out and backed same-sex marriage.
Sorry, Barack Obama came out?
And backed same-sex marriage.
Yes, history was made on the 8th of May 2012 when he became the first US president to endorse marriage equality. He and said that his views had evolved over the past few years based on meeting people from the LGBT community.
And clearly they've evolved more. I mean, the LGBT advancements in America that have taken place in the past 4 years have been quite staggering.
It would have to be one of the biggest changes and most positive developments in the last few years, for sure.
Across to New Zealand, 2013, the New Zealand Parliament erupted into song and dance when the equal marriage legislation passed. And I remember that moment and just, you know, brought a tear to your eye. The bill has allowed marriage equality in their country. It was in April 2013. And the video of, remember there's a politician who, I've forgotten his name, but he was from a rural constituency and he said, "There's a rainbow over my electorate." And just fantastic.
Astonishingly, the sky is yet to fall in.
It is.
Whereas in Russia, they, in the same year, passed the outlawing promotion of homosexuality law.
Oh, yes. A full name, please. Propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations around minors. So any
catchy
public displays of affection by same-sex couples or public events related to LGBT people is a big no-no. And you can be arrested for being gay or pro-gay.
It did get slightly better for the Pope, though, because he was named Person of the Year by the Advocate.
Now, that was Pope Francis, not
Pope
Benedict.
Pope, yes,
the new Pope.
But, gee, don't know he's lived up to that.
They
There's lots of
the
mixed
gun there,
messages. Everybody got really excited and thought he was going to make these huge transformations, and not yet.
Didn't quite happen. Moving on to 2014, President Obama, again, signed an executive order in July prohibiting businesses that hold contracts with the federal government from discriminating against employees or potential employees based on sexual orientation or gender identity. So he doubled down on his commitment to LGBT rights.
But they're still, sorry, Matt, they're still fighting generally for equal rights across the US.
Yeah, there's not much in the way of gay-friendly anti-discrimination legislation in the States. That is true.
There have been a few very sad stories along that way as well. A mob in Nigeria dragged 40 men who they believed were gay out of their beds onto the streets and beat them with wooden clubs in 2014.
And the Winter Olympics, which were held in Russia, drew international attention to that country's newly passed crappy laws, and that certainly got a lot of attention for them. People weren't very pleased with them.
But they did make sure that the International Olympic Committee actually changed their charter so it prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation.
Ha! Sucks to be you, Russia.
And yeah. Some of the biggest, most exciting stories actually happened last year, 2015, in Ireland, first of all, where marriage equality, they became the first country to, by popular vote, bring in marriage equality. And again, huge vote. It was 62% for. Fantastic scenes of jubilation throughout the streets, and it's kind of set the bar, I think.
Mozambique also legalised same-sex activity.
Which came out of the blue.
That was, as Paula said on last week's show, Dr. Paula Gerber, our friend from Kaleidoscope Human Rights Foundation, said that was a freebie. No one expected that one.
And finally, the US. We can't go anywhere without the US. The Supreme Court ruling, which granted full and equal marriage rights to America last year.
Opposing same-sex marriage was unconstitutional.
We've got messages coming in, and we do love these. We've got lots of messages from around the world tonight. They're starting to come in. Happy, happy birthday to one of my favourite shows on Joy. To me, human rights is more philosophical. It's about personal pride, duty, respect, sacrifice to oneself and to your fellow human being. Thank you very much. That's one of our regulars. What's your favourite show and why is a question that's coming. We're going to answer that for you throughout the show. And irrespective of one's political beliefs, Mr. Obama has left a tremendous legacy to our community. Let's emulate that success here. I love hope. Thanks for those messages.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Worldwide Wave having a party.
Look, messages flooding in now. Jason on Facebook, one heck of an effort to get to 200. A brilliant and informative show. Well done, team. Ilga World, they're watching us and listening in on the other side of the world as well. Looking forward to the show tonight. And Brett from Chatterbox coming up at 9 o'clock tonight. Congrats on 200 shows. Keep those coming in. So it's on Facebook, W3Joy.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
Now, we'd normally sort of be looking at the country that we're in and doing the Fun Fast Facts, but we're actually doing the Fun Fast Facts about our show.
We're talking about us.
We're talking about us. It's all about us.
It's all about us.
And the United Nations. But
it's like keeping up with the Kardashians, isn't it?
Now, this show, in the 4 years, we've actually had 11 presenters.
That's a lot of us.
That's a lot of us.
No one can stand to work with Matt for very long.
you put in your resignation already?
Yeah. What a slave driver.
I wasn't actually one of the originals. I remember having a chat at the 100th show with Squirrel. So the original show was Tom and Squirrel and AJ or Hikaru. And they had it all going, and then Hikaru dropped out and I came in. And the 100th show, we're having a chat with Squirrel, and she said, "Oh my God, I never thought we'd make it this far." You know, reflecting back on the very first show, which she said was an absolute disaster.
And we're still going. Not with
indeed,
the absolute disasters.
Not the disasters, no.
And then you got Chris and I.
So Chris has moved on interstate as well. Hello, Chris. She actually dropped us a note on Facebook as well. Thanks, Chris. And we've since... Oh, we also had Shannon in there who got the famous Antarctica interview. We had a conversation with her, you know, she said, I'd like to do Antarctica. And we all sort of laughed and said, yeah, okay. And look, don't spend too much time on it. Find a real country. Of course, she goes out and finds the only gay guy in Antarctica. So
it was a good show.
It was fantastic. And you can hear that on our podcast as well. To Barbara as well, who's sent us a little like on Facebook.
Not forgetting Lana, of course.
Lana, yes, yes. And then the team that is here today. And the show actually started at 11 o'clock on a Monday and then went to 8 o'clock, and now our home since 2014 has been Tuesdays at 7.
We've covered 123 separate countries.
Yeah. So we've gone back and done a few countries twice because different things happen.
We've had the occasional outside broadcast, AIDS 2014 World AIDS Conference in Melbourne. That was
down
fun.
The conference there, that was great fun. Yeah, that was such a buzz.
Jeff
Shedd,
that was excellent.
And we did a World Out Games live broadcast as well. I was across there in Belgium and phoning in on the phone. It was actually a good time of day to be doing it and talking from the other side of the world. So the wonders of modern technology.
And it's not just white explaining as well. We do cover a lot of Indigenous communities.
And these have been some of the most interesting shows we've had, I think. We've certainly done New Zealand Maori, the Inuit Canadians, Robbie from Canada, and, of course, Aboriginal Australians. We've had also 22 specials. So whilst we do one country at a time, we also sort of pick up on different specials from World AIDS Day, Intersex. We did a show on gay surfers. And in fact, Greg from Ad Lib to Fade, which is Thursdays at 11, has picked up the interview from our show and turned it into a soundscape show.
We had good music on the gay surfer show, if I remember correctly. That was a bit different.
I think one of my favourites was the Gay Cowboys.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, that was Eurovision as well.
The World Gay Rodeo Championship.
He was the best guest. He was fantastic. He was really good value.
And international Mr. Leather.
I will say at this point that the real strength of the show is not us at all.
It is our guests.
It is definitely our guests.
And the stories they have, because we, by nature, you sort of live in your own bubble, your own local area, and you know everything, and that you think that's the way the world is. And then you sort of speak to somebody on the other side of the world, and they've got a completely different view, and you think, wow, that's fantastic.
Getting the view of someone, a gay person in, say, or a lesbian person or transgender person from, say, Greenland, or to think of some of our, you know, Mongolia, some of the places we've contacted.
Or any of them that come from Africa, just hat goes off to anyone that supports the LGBT in the continent of Africa.
Totally. Or the Middle East. You know, people really putting themselves on the line just to speak to us.
And message in from Jono. Remember Jono used to do Drive just before us, and we used to have great chats
on. Yeah, yeah.
I missed you coming after me, if you pardon the pun. Thanks, Jono.
We don't pardon it.
Joy.
This is Ryan Reed from the International Gay Rodeo Association, saddling up with Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Now, it's not just all frivolity and fun here tonight. We are actually looking at some pretty big issues. For this, our 200th show, we went straight to the top of the advocacy tree. When LGBT advances happen at the global level via the United Nations, tonight's guest has almost always been a part of it.
Andre de Plessis is the UN Program and Advocacy Manager for ILGA, the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans and Intersex Association. And this interview, we asked Andre to start by telling us a little bit about ILGA and what they do.
I'm with ILGA, which is the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans and Intersex Association. And ILGA has been around for coming up on 40 years. And it is the World Federation of LGBTI Organizations. We have close to 1,200 member organizations from about 120 countries around the world, from all regions. To be a member of ILGA, it's an LGBT organization. So you might, in your local town, have a local LGBT organization, like a gay rights movement, perhaps. And that member organization can join ILGA, which becomes part of this worldwide federation, so that it can learn from and contribute to the global movement of what's going on. But we don't take individual people to be members. It's actually a federation of organizations.
That's a hell of a lot of groups. I would imagine there would be very diverse views on what should be taken forward. How do you manage that process?
Well, the good thing about being a federation is it's not just a membership organization where people like sign up dues and then disappear. Actually, we're a democracy in some ways. Every 2 years, we have a world conference and we elect a board where It's the LGBT organizations around the world at the grassroots who are actually choosing the board and are actually choosing our policy and guiding our direction about where we go. So, yeah, you can imagine we have a lot of different views. Imagine, you know, a trans group in Africa as opposed to an intersex group in Australia as opposed to a gay man group in Ecuador. We'll have very different approaches and priorities, but we listen to our members and they talk it out and guide us on how we should be moving forward.
You are the voice of LGBTI advocacy at the United Nations level. Take us inside that process. How does a policy idea, a policy movement start and move through into influencing change at the United Nations level?
Oh, man. And welcome to my daily headache and my daily joy. Yeah, because if you think that having 1,200 LGBTI organizations is a tough thing to crack, then try throwing the world governments in the room to talk about, you know, LGBTI issues. That's a headache and a half. And the UN itself is a humongous organization. It's not really even one thing at all. You know, you have New York going on where the governments meet and talk politically there. You have, you know, UN agencies operating on development aid on the ground in Africa or in Asia. You have human rights discussions going on here in Geneva. You have the World Health Organization. All I'm trying to paint for you is that it's a huge space. And principally what we try to do, or one of our main focuses has been, is to make sure that the United Nations human rights discussion is happening in a way which includes us. Because for too long, the discussion was trying to say, no, you can, you know, we don't allow people to be discriminated against on grounds of race or on grounds of religion, but definitely don't mention the gay word. Don't mention anything LGBTI at the UN. And that's been our big fight, is to make sure that we are included in those discussions.
Joy, 94.9.
Hi, my name is Hope Matumbu from the Multicultural Health and Support Service. Congratulations to the World Wide Wave team for 200 fabulous shows. Here's to 200 more.
It's World Wide Wave, Joy 94.9. More messages coming in. Thank you so much for loving this. John says, you legends, smile emoticon. Joy should have more enduring shows like yours. Thank you, John. And message in. Question, please. Do you think Australia has decent human rights record compared to the rest of the world?
Can open, worms everywhere. You know, do we really want to touch
that's
that with a...
That's a bit of a loaded question, I think.
It is loaded, but I don't think it's something that can necessarily be just avoided or laughed away. I mean, I do think our human rights record has gone backwards in the past few years, and I don't think there's too many people who would say it's progressed. Yeah, right. So
I think it's running on the spot. I think in some ways there are some improvements.
I think that's even...
I think in some ways there are some improvements. In other ways, there's some definite regression, and I think overall, you know, I think there's some positives there, but, you know, if we're talking about the R word, refugees, it's just getting worse and worse by the day,
and R word reputation too. So how it impacts our world, our reputation in the world.
Yeah, we've got that island mentality that, you know, other people just don't understand us. We don't care what they think.
You know, you do that so well. You can be the voice of Australia. Tonight, we are talking all things United Nations and how LGBT rights are advocated at the global level.
We've been talking to André de Plessis, and André was explaining how they advocate for LGBT inclusion in policies and discussions at the United Nations. We asked him how far-reaching the implications of such inclusions are.
Well, and again, we see it at different levels. So we do have moments when the world's governments have voted on LGBT. We saw that in 2011 when South Africa brought a resolution on sexual orientation and gender identity, which is the kind of the way of talking about LGBT within the UN. They brought that and they brought a vote and it passed by a slight margin. We were very happy it passed, but it wasn't very strong. 3 years later, we had Brazil and others brought a resolution and the margin of support increased hugely. We're not a huge majority, but we are now. More countries than not are now saying that we should talk about these issues. So that frames the international discourse. It might sound like a really small thing, but what happens is there now is a letterhead which has the UN logo at the top and saying, yep, more governments than not have voted to discuss LGBT issues.
André, as much as we'd love to see that change tomorrow, it can only be a good thing that the dialogue's now being opening at a government level and across the globe, not just in a handful of countries.
Absolutely. And we're seeing that change happening. I mean, I think if you looked at the UN 10 years ago, you would have had only, you know, North American potentially, but not even their countries talking about it, European, Australia. You would have a handful of basically Western countries prepared to engage in the discussion, and we've seen huge changes happening. My own country, I come from South Africa. I'm, you know, very proud that there's a country in Africa now taking these issues on. We're seeing Nepal, Thailand, the Philippines, the whole of Latin America has effectively come on board as well. So yeah, we do see like little changes taking place, and that's just reflective of what's happening on the ground in so many places around the world.
The countries that most need change are probably the ones least likely to talk to you and talk about LGBTI issues. How do you engage with them? Africa, for example.
Well, I think we'd be surprised actually at how much discussion is going on. And I think there's often an assumption that Africa is the worst place in the world to be LGBT. And yeah, of course, there are some horrendous things going on across the continent, but it goes to the diversity of our movement as well. You know, we're LGBT and I, that there's some horrible stuff going on sexual orientation, gender identity in Uganda, Nigeria, of course. But we're also keen as a, you know, to point out the, you know, in Europe, so many countries across this continent, trans people are still being required to be sterilized before they can actually change their legal documents for gender recognition. So I just want to start out by saying that we really try to make sure that we don't paint it as, you know, the West is best and then, you know, the rest of the world is this horrible place where nothing's happening. So we often don't talk with the difficult governments, and you're right that some in Africa, some in Asia in particular, are some of them are openly hostile against us. We won't necessarily publicly have conversations facing off with them, and rather we'd try and work with them behind the scenes. We'd talk with them quietly, like, can you perhaps abstain from this resolution? Can you perhaps not come out with some particularly strong rhetoric? And also, crucially, we will work always with the local NGOs in the country. So if we're wanting to talk with Malawi, let's say, then we would talk with Malawian LGBT NGOs and other NGOs to make sure that the message we're getting through to them is happening appropriately and that it doesn't harm any of the groups on the ground there.
We've spoken about some of those negatives. How important can the positives be, if you like, a domino effect when one country leads the way? And I'm thinking in Africa, we've had Mozambique decriminalizing just recently, the former president of Botswana speaking out in support of LGBTI rights. How can that be used to encourage other countries to start down the path towards equality?
What we're really excited about is being... you know, the African, in Mozambique, the NGO there, Lambda, is the one who really worked for decades to bring about change and worked within Mozambique, talking with their government. They would come to the UN and raise issues publicly about their own government here. And as a result, I think they built up relationships over the years. And yeah, exactly, Mozambique decriminalized last year. We find that the best change is happening when it is local groups talking, and we see that happening increasingly across the continent. Yes, you've highlighted Botswana as well. So for us, it's making sure that voices within the region are empowered to help bring that about.
Does ILGA have members in some of those countries that are, I guess, dragging the chain or really lagging behind, or do you have to come at it from a completely external point of view?
We have a lot of member organizations in some of the toughest places around the world. You know, Uganda, Nigeria, we have very strong LGBTI movements. Those would be some of the two most hostile places in Africa. You know, you look at places like India, which has recriminalized homosexuality, and yet there's huge numbers of LGBTI groups there. So we do have presences in those places. Now, you might get to some of the most hostile places on the planet. You might come to somewhere like Saudi Arabia or the UAE. In those places, no, we don't have any groups actually in those countries. In those situations, yeah, we are working with the women's rights movements, for example, recognizing that gender equality is often the beginning to erode for broader equality, particularly for LGBTI people. So we would recognize you can't go into Riyadh at the moment and try and hold a gay pride, right? You've got to actually just start from a place much further back and support, okay, let's try and support the women's movement, let's try and support gender equality there.
André Duplessis there from ILGA with some of the behind-the-scenes advocacy to advance LGBT rights internationally.
Yeah. Talking about the need for back to basics. Sometimes you have to learn to crawl before you can walk or
and
run.
And that idea that in countries where it's really, really hard, start with women's issues, so get acceptance for a different group. And actually, you get a lot of partnerships between LGBT groups and women's groups in countries where rights in general are pretty flat.
That's something that Dr. Paula Gerber has been saying a few times as well, that, you know, our frequent guest on the show who was on last week, and that you often need to start with anti-discrimination legislation before you even go anywhere near same-sex rights.
Now, interestingly, you mentioned Dr. Paula Gerber from Kaleidoscope, because we're having a bit of a chat. We had a message come in earlier about what people thought our favourite show was, and we were having a vibrant discussion about all the past memories. Damien.
Yeah, my one's certainly always been when we get Paula on the show for a chat. It's always such a unique perspective and, you know, really brings home what's going on in other places at a legal level, you know, not just what's
but
on
she
the...
simplifies it too. It's not
yeah,
legal jargon.
Yeah, so I can
jargon.
Understand what she's saying.
Makes it accessible to everyone.
Indeed. Covering the Asia-Pacific region Kaleidoscope there. Paul, what about yourself?
Mine was when we had Hope in... And it was just her sheer enthusiasm for her job. And
so she was from the Multicultural Health Group, and we're actually talking about HIV education to various cultures.
I think it was AIDS Day.
World AIDS Day special, yeah. Yes. Yeah, she's just such a vibrant personality.
Yep.
I don't think anything would knock her down. Dean.
I'd say my favourite by far would have to be Bizzy Alimi, who was from Nigeria. And every time we mention Nigeria, it's like, you know, what awful things happen there. But he was a wonderful guest, erudite, charismatic, just
he was,
so
he was
charming.
A TV soap star with, you know, this huge following who
he was.
Came out very publicly.
Huge population in Nigeria, so a lot of people watch this show.
Yeah.
And he on the show he was the son of a, you know, wealthy father, and he was having an affair with the maid.
With the maid, that's right.
And then he decided to come out. This was about, 10 years ago now. And it was such a scandal that the show got cancelled.
Yeah.
And he's now living in the UK with his...
in exile, but with his partner.
With his partner.
He actually came into the studio and we were having a chat off mic, and he said that his partner had just proposed to him. And we said, oh, yeah, can we tell everybody? He said, no, you can't, because we've got to get... back home, and then it'll all break. So we had the scoop, and we weren't able to tell anybody.
Yeah, because he didn't want the news to get out onto social media. He wanted it to get out while they're on the plane, so they could have
some peace.
That's it. So yeah, there was a an embargo on that, which was a bit of a bummer. But yeah, wonderful interview. And as always, like, it's all about the guest, and he was a great guest.
And
really
Matt,
good.
Matt, what about you?
Yeah, for me, probably we did a show on the world of gay radio where we actually spoke with the three, well, we're one of them, the three radio stations in the world for LGBT community. So there's one in Toronto, one in UK, and the breakfast guy in UK, totally outrageous, got the Pommy accent, and, you know, I could just picture him in the early hours of the morning being totally crazy. But in the course of that interview, he was so glowing about us, both the length of time that Joy had been on air and the depth of program, because they've got mainly a music-based program. We're really the only LGBT radio station in the world that does full programming across the, like, not just a music show. So shows on, sci-fi geeks and pets and
cars,
international current affairs.
Yeah, and international news and current affairs. A few more messages coming in. We're loving this. Jim from Is Nothing Sacred, congratulations, you guys. And Shannon, a former host from the show here. Hello, Shannon. Amazing work. Very excited. Gina also says fantastic. And Pete, one of our regulars, Pete says, congratulations, guys. Wouldn't it be nice if our Human Rights Commissioner said hi as well? Perhaps.
Well, we've still got 20 minutes to get the word in.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Connecting, representing, celebrating. Joy 94.9.
We're partying tonight. It's our 200th show.
We're partying hard.
We are. Messages coming in. My dream would be to see Amal Clooney visit Australia, an exceptional human rights lawyer.
Blank looks around the table.
She's married to George Clooney.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, if George came, I'd be happy to. Very interesting to see Dr. Gillian Triggs at Senate Estimates Committee with Tim Wilson recently. Missed that.
Would have been scuttlebutt behind the scenes, I'm sure.
Wonder what terms they're on together. If you could wave a magic wand, what's the main priority you would want for our community? Love the show so far. Oh, we are getting deep questions tonight.
It depends on if you're talking about local or international.
Locally, I just want some progress on equal marriage.
Yeah.
So locally, same-sex marriage, yeah.
Yeah, locally would be same-sex marriage. Mm. Internationally, I'd like to see...
I'd like to see a few countries...
Anti-discrimination legislation.
Yeah, yeah, anti-discrimination, and particularly around the Pacific too, where there's a few countries that are really laggards, and even Australia is giving them lots of funding, and even... You know, even Papua New Guinea and the like.
If I had a real magic wand, it would be to help in Africa and eliminate homophobia and homophobic death in Africa.
Talk about flogging a dead horse. I mean, I think this scapegoat is getting very tired. The whole, all these countries like Nigeria blaming the gay community for everything that goes wrong. And Nigeria is a good example where more than $40 billion in oil royalties went, oops, mysteriously missing.
It's an interesting question, actually, because we asked our guest, Andre Duplessis, from he's the UN Program and Advocacy Manager for ILGA. We asked him what he saw as the biggest challenges and the biggest opportunities for LGBT advocacy in 2016.
Well, it's an interesting time at the United Nations. We're going to see a lot of changes this year with a new Secretary General being voted in. Well, voted is a strong word. The selection process is sadly not as democratic as that, but we'll see a new Secretary General being appointed. The current Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, has been an incredible ally on LGBTI rights.
I was just thinking, can we do better than that? Is where do we go to from here?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm hopeful. I think we can do better than that. In Geneva, we had the head of the UN Human Rights, was Navi Pillay from South Africa, who was an incredible ally. And we see the new High Commissioner, Zaid, and we were all concerned beforehand, like, who's this new face going to be on the ground? And actually, within his first few weeks in job, he was holding a sign in a photo opportunity showing that LGBTI rights are human rights. So, you know, we're always surprised. We think we've had a good, and then suddenly we'll get allies coming from the strangest quarters. So we are really looking the next Secretary General is going to be a crucial ally, or we're hopeful it's going to be someone good for us.
Locally in our region, what's happening in the Pacific?
Actually, it's a really great time. The ILGA in your region is ILGA Oceania, and it's holding it every 2 years. The LGBTI organizations in the region get together. And actually, it's going to be in March, 9th to the 12th of March in Wellington. There's going to be 3 days of human rights and LGBT discussions going on there. So if anyone's interested in finding out more, there's a website, www.proud.org.nz. I'd recommend you go and check it out.
Andre, you mentioned before your daily headache and your daily joy. For you personally, how did you get into the LGBT advocacy space and what drives you?
Wow. good question. Well, I'm a lawyer, I'm sorry to say. And I used to actually work in corporate law, and I used to do those crazy things called hedge funds, believe it or not. I had a lot of legal skills, but I just felt that this wasn't actually who I was.
It sounds
boring.
I wanted
to actually do something to help the world. It was, please, terrible. And I think I thought, well, why am I using these legal skills to try and make some rich people even richer when actually I care about what's happening in the world? And so for me, it was I retrained and I moved into human rights, and I felt very strongly, well, you know, I'm a gay guy myself, and I've had a very privileged upbringing. You know, I'm not facing huge amounts of discrimination, but maybe I can use my skills to try and make this world just a bit of a better place. And so, yeah, I slowly shifted, and 3-4 years ago, I started working with ILGA.
Fantastic, and doing a great job championing LGBTI rights. Andre Duplessis from ILGA, speaking to us from Switzerland. Thanks for joining us on World Wide Wave.
Thank you very much.
And fascinating to hear those, not just the way advocacy happens at the global level, but also why somebody would go into a job like that. I mean, he was talking about the immense highs and the immense lows, which I could very, very well imagine in that sort of job. Anybody putting their hands up? No. We're happy to do it from afar on radio.
I don't know. I think I'd enjoy the travel aspect.
Is that one of the highs?
Is it business class?
It's be a not-for-profit, I think. I don't think so. Interesting, though, that our podcasts, the highest downloads are always the countries where there is the worst rights or the most challenging rights, I should say. So Iran has been number one for a long time. Senegal is up there.
Nigeria
is up there as well. So
it makes you wonder if the people downloading are from those countries
and looking for a bit of information,
validation,
or support
at the very least.
Yeah.
So why don't you let us know if you're listening to our podcast? Let us know what you think. Send us an email, worldwidewave@joy.org.au, or you can grab us through Facebook and Twitter.
And more messages coming in. The Joysters are out tonight. Andrew from Hide and Seek says, congratulations, team, on your 200th episode for what is no doubt a very involved weekly effort by everybody. Chris Jamison, the music director, nice work, team. Sue from Friday Drive and Greg from Adlib to Fade all send their good wishes as well. It's Worldwide Wave. It's our 200th show and you're on Joy 94.9.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
Hi, Australia. This is Patrick Smith, International Mr. Leather. I have been honored to travel the world advocating for LGBT rights, but to hear you guys have been doing it for years is really impressive. Congratulations, Worldwide Wave, on 200 shows.
And for tonight, a big thank you to Andre Duplessis, the UN Program and Advocacy Manager for ILGA, for his wonderful interview.
And we've been inundated with messages on Facebook, SMS and email, and not forgetting Gordon out on the front desk.
The lovely Gordon. Thank you, all you listeners.
Next week, another very special one. We spoke to the United States Special Envoy for the Human Rights of LGBTI people, Randy Berry. So we bring that to you next week on Worldwide Wave. Thanks for joining us for 200 shows. We'll catch you next week on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you for listening to the Worldwide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.